Today on the AV Podcast, we discuss Game 4 of the Raptors Sixers series, as well as the series overall. I invite O'Neal Kamaka, assistant head coach of Oakwood Collegiate's varsity boys basketball team and co-founder of the Skills Refinement Group, as we break down the game. We discuss the brilliance of Kawhi Leonard and where he ranks on the hierarchy of the greatest Raptors ever. I've been off this past week, you know, due to some scheduling conflicts, and this is actually the first time of this series that I'm actually covering. But we're going to be doing a post-game podcast for the remainder of this series. And you can continue to do that on South Shore Ave, which you can find wherever you listen to your podcasts: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Google Podcasts is where you can listen and subscribe, as well as rate and review the shows. And you can also listen and subscribe to South Shore Ave and check out the content, as well as the rest of the catalog. Once again, that's SouthShoreAve.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio. We the Claw.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast. I got Mr. Kamaka with me, O'Neal Kamaka. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
It's a beautiful day. It's nice and sunny, 21 degrees. Mm-hmm. Raptors win.
It made the skies a little bluer for most Raptors fans today, I would say.
Yes, a lot of people were able to exhale a little bit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, take a deep breath.
Hey, so let me just go ahead and ask you. My first question I was going to ask you is, what are your thoughts on today's game? But I'm going to kind of scrap it right now and ask a different question. How great is Kawhi Leonard?
How great is Kawhi Leonard? Top three, between him, KD, and LeBron. He's a great player, no doubt. I'm a huge Kawhi Leonard fan. Everything about him, the way he carries himself, obviously the way he plays the game. He might be the third best or the third greatest two-way player ever behind Jordan and Kobe. This guy, you know, he's a silent assassin. Just quietly goes about and does the work. So he's great. He's great.
What did he do today? The 39 and 14 with 5 assists? I mean,
yeah.
Listen, man.
He did have seven turnovers, but, you know, we won't mention that.
And you know what? You could kind of live with that. You know what I mean? If he's going to give you those kind of performances every night, if he has one of those where he has a high turnover rate, you'll live with it. You could take that.
Of course. Yeah.
Especially if you're getting everything else. Well, yeah, you won, and then you're getting everything else. You'll live with that.
Because if you lost, that would be a big issue. Like, you had seven turnovers.
Yeah, true. True, no doubt. I mean,
you know why I bring it up? Because I know it's part of the stat. Like, when I look at stats, I look at everything. Mm-hmm. I look at all the numbers, not just the positive numbers. So,
yeah,
and it's not to diminish or take away anything he does. I just like to throw it out there. You know, like, yeah, he turned it over, but like you said, he gave us 39 and hit some buckets, hit some shots when you need to, right? And that's what superstars do. They make buckets, they make big shots at the right time. He's great, man. I'm happy we have him.
Listen, man, I'm at the point now where I honestly don't even expect him to miss shots anymore. Like, that's the point I'm at now when I'm watching him play. And it's kind of like, and it's funny, because, you know, Kendrick Perkins recently on The Jump, I remember he was saying, like, he compares him to Jordan, and he was like, and everybody took flack for it. And I'm not going to go there and say, yeah, he's Jordan, because Jordan's a completely different type of player, you know, and all that stuff. But, like, the efficiency of how he scores offensively, it kind of reminds me in this regard. Like, Jordan was probably one of the few players that, like, when Jordan was in his prime, every shot he took, especially mid-range, you thought it was going in. Like, when he missed, you were like, oh, shit, he missed? Like, that's where he's at right now, which is, I never thought I'd see that with Kawhi Leonard, because I watched him in college. I remember him at San Diego State. This whole development is way beyond anything I would have thought of him. I'm telling you right now. I liked him, but I did not see any of this coming to this degree. Like, to be this good offensively to this degree, where, like, you just, it literally doesn't matter what's going on, you can't be stopped. It's like he's playing, I don't want to go as far as saying he's playing by himself, you know, like, offensively, like, nobody's defending him, but I mean, everything is just so simple. There's no wasted movement. You know, like everything is fundamentally sound. He's used his body the right way you want to use it, your body, especially with a guy with his length and his strength. I can't express how much joy I get from watching him play in the playoffs. And this is why I was, like, during the regular season, I was so excited to get to this point, because I knew this guy has another gear that, you know what I mean, that most people that can't get to that he can.
Well, yeah, and, you know, like, again, I remember when he was in San Antonio and what he was doing and carrying the Spurs, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just growing, getting bigger, stronger, coming into his prime. So, yeah, he's, the development, you know, you got to also thank San Antonio and the system that they have over there for developing him and working with his shot, because he wasn't a great shooter. You know, they're able to work with him and turn him into a really reliable shooter. And then his ball handling is overrated. I mean, it's underrated.
It's underrated. Yeah.
Yeah, his ball handling is underrated, and he can handle a rock, right? And that helps him to create and get to the bucket. So, yeah, man, he's tough.
Listen, I've been saying for years, you know, having a handle is like having a universal key, right? It gets you in any door. So if your handle's tight, I don't care who you are, whether you're small or big, your handles are tight, you can go anywhere on the floor. No, there's nowhere on the floor that should be foreign to you when you can handle the rock.
Exactly.
And that's you know, from what I see with Kawhi, like, that's probably like one of the biggest developments in his last few years, as well as like his shot and everything else. But that's probably, like, I agree with you. I think that's like the underrated factor of it, because he gets anywhere he wants to on the floor. There's no place he doesn't feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. You know, when you have a shot, you can score from anywhere you want on the court, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I like about it.
And it's funny, there's a stat courtesy of Raptors Fans TV. This might be Bleacher too, but one of their stat is crazy to me right here. It's the career true shooting percentage in the regular season and playoffs for all, like, the all-stars and superstars, like, comparison during the regular season and the playoffs. He's the only player out of all the active players whose career true shooting percentage actually jumps significantly higher in the playoffs than everybody else. Everybody either stays the same or goes down. His actually makes a leap, which I think is crazy. I think it goes from like 60 to like 63, I think. And everybody else loses a few percentage points. It's insane.
He's locked in. He's locked in when it comes to the playoffs. And that's how you want your best player to be, right? You want him to show up and deliver. That's why, you know, he's considered the best and gets the big bucks.
Yeah, and his play is, like, it's rewarding Raptors fan for sticking with this team for so long. Because, and I mean, I was thinking of this when I was watching the game. I'm like, his play is probably the least flashiest out of all the Raptors superstars that we've had, like, sorry, the Raptors had since 1995 or 96 or whatever they came in, right? But I mean, you look at it, I'm looking at this game, I'm like, yo, this is exactly what we wanted from Vince Carter. And this is kind of what we wanted, like, DeMar DeRozan to kind of grow into. Some people, anyway, because I didn't think he was a superstar. But going back that far ahead, it's like, when you're looking at the franchise, is it? I don't want to, like, you know, like, shoot the expectations too high. But I'm just looking at this from this perspective. Would you already say he's the best player in Raptors history?
Yes.
Because I want to hear your reason, but I'm thinking yes. I'll share my reason in a moment, but I'll let you answer that question.
Yeah, he's the best player in the Raptors this year because he's one of the dominant players in the league. And like I said, he might be the third best two-way basketball player ever. Mm-hmm. So that means he competes on both ends. He's a lockdown defender, mm-hmm. and he's a bucket getter. Vince Carter, you know, was the most talented. Right? Yeah. He had the most upside, but obviously he didn't have the work ethic and the mental to do it. And he didn't want to do it. He didn't want the responsibility. He didn't want to be great. He was a cheerleader. He was there, right? He was there just having fun, playing ball, making money, and enjoying being in the league. He didn't want the responsibility. He didn't want to be a great player. He could have been. You know, he could be one of the best players ever. But Kawhi is definitely the best Raptors ever. The guy's a superstar. DeRozan was just a star. He's an all-star.
He's
player.
An all-star. Yeah.
And he was the best of what we had. You know, best. He was the one that wanted to play here and he worked hard and he developed himself. But he's not a Batman. He's not a Superman. He's more of a Flash.
Yeah.
You know, he's more of a Flash. He's more of a, you know, Martian Manhunter.
Right.
Right. or Cyborg, but he's not Batman or Superman.
He's not even Aquaman.
Not even Aquaman. So Kawhi's definitely the best Raptor ever.
And all props to him, but it's truthful. That's just the truth. Like, he's an all-star. And that was the biggest thing. Obviously, you know, we knew the past few years is they're represented by two all-stars that sometimes play at a higher level, but when the playoffs came, they both struggled. They both struggled. You know what I mean? You never got a great game from both of them at the same time. It was always one was hot, one was cold, or both was cold. But it was never like both of them were rolling, you know?
But you never felt like DeRozan and Lowry was going to will you to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when Jordan was playing, like, you knew Jordan was going to do it. You knew Kobe was going to do it. You know KD's going to do it, right? You know Kawhi's going to do it. Like, you never got that sense from Kawhi, from Lowry or from DeRozan. I definitely never got it from DeRozan.
Yeah.
You could see it in their body language. You could just see it in the way they play. There's no confidence in the way they play. There's uncertainty, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no, you see that focus, that locked in. And as much as I like DeRozan because he was a true professional, he loved Toronto, he had a great work ethic, he just wasn't that dude.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't that dude. And we saw it in San Antonio. He's not that dude. Right?
Yeah.
So Kawhi is definitely the greatest Raptor ever.
And the reason why I started thinking that, right, and I don't, and it's funny, I don't think that's a huge thing to say, honestly, because think about it, like, with DeRozan, the last few years that we've seen, even with Chris Bosh, who Bosh was a high level all star but not a superstar, and then going with Vince, who had all the potential in the world, but as you said, they want responsibility. When you look at all those careers, regular season and playoffs, it never matched up in the playoffs, because if people forget about Vince, like, not to harp on the guy, but like, people forget about Vince, he had some of those same struggles that Lowry and DeRozan did. There were some games where you're like, yo, where the hell is this guy? You know? And
he was out partying until 5 a.m. the night before.
Right.
That's where he was. Crotches.
But, like, you look at all that, right? And then you're looking at Lowry and DeRozan, same thing. They'll be great in the regular season. Playoffs was always a struggle. But this time, you have a guy like Kawhi who's been great in the regular season. Even with low management, be damned. But, he was still Kawhi for the most part. And now he's leaped another level in the playoffs. So to me, right there, I'm like, even if you want to give him the tag of greatest, like, the best Raptor player ever, in terms of single season, I think he's already locked that down.
Yeah.
Easily. Just easily. Like, even if they don't make it to the past the second round, he's easily has that mark just because of what he's been doing in the playoffs. He's had one game, one bad game this whole playoffs, and it was because he was sick. Like, he didn't play like his best. Not to say that it's an excuse, because to me, once you're on the floor, that's it. But it is what it is. Like, that was the one game where, okay, you can give that a blive or half an asterisk because he wasn't feeling well. But everything else, I mean, he's the goods. He's giving you everything that you're supposed to give. Based on, we finished watching Game 4 and the Raptors won 101-96. What were your thoughts on today's game outside of Kawhi?
I thought it was a good game. I thought it was a great defensive game by the Raptors. I thought they did a great job. Based on what I see, they did a great job defensively, a lot better than games 2 and 3. There's a sense of urgency. Guys were rotating to spots. And, when I was watching the Raptors, there's no sense of urgency. They missed a shot. You can kind of see the energy going out. They weren't rotating well on defense. And I saw the same thing with Boston when I was watching Boston play. They had the same energy the Raptors had on defense. Whereas Philly, they're playing carefree. They're active defensively. Offensively, they came down. There's no hesitation. They're open. They're shooting the ball. They're not thinking about it.
Yep.
And it was the same thing with Milwaukee, right? And I think that's what the Raptors needed to do. Oh, Jamal Murray. And that's what I... sorry, I'm watching the...
Yeah, I figured.
And he just banged on two dudes. And so I thought defensively, the Raptors were a lot better defensively. And, they missed shots, but they didn't hang their heads. They just kept playing, right? And, I try to tell players when I coach, it's just a basic block. And we said it to you, I think you remember, like, if you don't score and they don't score, it's 0-0.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, if, you know, if you miss a shot, get back, play some D. Mm-hmm. You know, rotate, make sure you get in the gaps so guys can't turn the corner. You know, know the scouting report, know who to close out on, who not to close out. So I thought they just did they're very active. You know, they're very busy on defense. And I think your defense wins you championships, right? And, you know, you're deep when you're active and you have energy on defense, it translates to your offense. And so I thought they did a great job of just raising the defensive energy and playing hard and competing, right?
So absolutely.
It was a great defensive win.
Absolutely. I thought it was the best game in the series, hands down. Like, I thought it was the best game in the series. And that's, you know, physical play. And that's usually a result of, like, a competitive series getting stretched out a little bit. You know what I mean? Teams started getting a little tired of seeing each other. Plus, they're starting to know everybody. You know, by game four, you start to know the other team's tendencies. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then it's just a war from there, especially if the series is close. But yeah, I thought, like, I really enjoyed today's game. Like, it was like it had me on the edge of my seat pretty much. So, you know, from the second half on, it was great. Like,
yep, it was a great playoff game.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely something you definitely want to watch. Couple of things. Jimmy Butler's playing like a man that's looking for a max deal because he's playing like a man right now. Since game one, well, he didn't have a good game one, but since game two, he's been playing like amazing. Like I think he's officially. It's safe to say for the rest of this series, he's at the very worst the number two option, because I think what the struggles that Embiid's going through, be it with Gasol in his face all the time, be it with his own injuries and everything else, you know, he's struggling in this series. Other than the one game he had in game three, he's struggling for the most part in this series. Like, he's shooting less than 38%, right?
Yeah.
So I think Butler is like the guy that kind of like. Even if he's not the number one option, he's the one that's been setting the tone for Philly this whole series. Like, I think, like, he's the MVP of that team so far in this series.
I like Jimmy Butler because he's a two-way player.
Right.
I like players that make big shots. Not only do they take the shot, but they make the shot. Mm-hmm. Right. And so Jimmy Butler is that guy. He competes. He's a dog. I liked him better before he became an asshole.
Yes.
Like, you know, he's just an asshole off the court. Like, you know, you always tell guys, be an asshole on the court, play with that edge. But he's an asshole off the court.
Yeah, he definitely carries it out off the floor.
Yeah, he's an asshole. And, you know, my coach, my college coach, who's a scout with the Chicago Bulls, he's the advanced scout for Chicago Bulls on the West Coast in South America. And he's like, Jimmy Butler, that's one of the things that they loved about him when he came in. He loved his story, this kid that lived, you know, homeless, you know, all the stuff that he did. And he loved him, and he was so humble, and he was working hard, and... You know, he started feeling himself and he just became a dickhead off the court, right? A horrible teammate and, you know, calling people out and just, you know, so. But Michael Ball, man, like, I, you know, people like Embiid. I like Joel. I like Jimmy Buckets because, you know, he brings it. So.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, tonight, what, 29 points, 11 boards, 4 assists as well? Like, he's.
Yeah.
As I said, man, he's taking that second option mantle away from Ben Simmons, and he should, and he really should. You know what I mean? I think it's funny. I think going with Ben Simmons, like I was saying from before the series started, that I think he's gonna be exposed. How can you be a great basketball player when you can't shoot? You know, like
exactly.
when you can't shoot. Like, I mean, O'Neal, like, he's not even being aggressive no more because he can't shoot free throws.
You know, he can't. I do like the fact though that he's still active though.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's still crashing the offensive board and rebounding and trying to push the ball, but. Yeah, I don't know. You know, again, when Jimmy Butler wasn't there, he could be the second best player. He just got drafted, you know, whatever. He's new to the league. But, I mean, me personally, I'm a guard. I put Jimmy Buckets ahead of Joel Embiid. Because, for me, it's all about the playoffs. I don't care about regular season. What you do in the playoffs is where I start rating you. And that's where I look to see what you're made of. And so, you know, Jimmy Buckets, he's stepping up and he's leading this team right now in the playoffs. So, to me, he's the number one. Joel Embiid could be number two, right? But you know, but I know everybody lives off regular season.
Well, I mean,
I
would say that Embiid is probably still the number one guy, but I think this is like, I think this series is going into the summer. This is going to be a lesson for him. Now, as much as I love Embiid, like Embiid's my guy, but you know, Embiid is a couple of things. He's still raw. people think, I know they have him as the best center in the league. Fine, I'll take that. I love Embiid, but he's still raw. There's still ways for him to go to get better. You know what I mean? And I think this series kind of exposes him for that a little bit. And I think the other biggest thing, too, is that, I mean, his conditioning and his shape isn't the greatest. You know, and it's catching up to him now.
Yeah.
You know, the knee injuries and, you know, like, just you can see sometimes, like, even today, he looked bust. Those times in the game, like, his hands are on his knees. Like, he looked like he was, like, heavy breathing, labored breathing. So I think even that, like, he's got to, like, coming into next season, he's got to show up in camp, like, the best shape of his life. You know, that kind of thing. So I think this series kind of, like, it's exposing him a little bit because, again, you can't – when you look at the stats for the playoffs, I mean, sorry, in this series, you can't ignore 38% shooting. Like, you're the number one guy. You cannot shoot 38% from the field as a center. You can't. Like, that's just – that's unforgivable. You know what I mean?
Nope.
It's unforgivable.
There you go. I agree.
Now, what's your overview on the series so far?
I mean, it's still, you know, I think it's going to come down to – I think it's going to be a seven-game series. I think Philly felt disrespected after the first game.
Mm-hmm.
I know Stephen A. Smith, my guy, was like, the series is over, based on, obviously, the energy level.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Philly felt disrespected about that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fight. You know, it's surprisingly, like, I'm waiting for something to happen where there's, like, bad blood.
Mm-hmm.
I know... you know, Simmons kind of gave Lowry a shot to the balls, and you think that would kind of do it, but Lowry just like, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting for something to happen where these guys just like, where there's like the bench clears or there's a, you know, pushing and shoving or something.
Nose to nose, something. I think it's funny. I feel like that's going to happen the next game, actually.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's going to be a seven-game series. You know, I think it's going to be a seven-game series. I think, you know, every game from now on, you're going to, you know, you're going to be going down to the wire, and you know it's going to give you. It's either going to give you a heart attack, or you're going to love it. But you know, I think it's going to be a great series. You know, you're going to be, you know, two teams putting it out there. Well, nobody wants to go home.
Well, I think the way the series, or well, the result of the series being 2-2, is kind of what we expected for the most part,
because
everybody expected these series, like, and you know, anything past the first round in the East. It's going to be a long series no matter what, unless somebody gets hurt, you know, or suspended or something like that. It's going to be like every series is going to be at least six games going forward between the two semifinal round, semifinal series and then the conference finals. Like, it's each series is going to be at least six games. So I'm not surprised at the result. I think Toronto at some point, though, you know, I think they failed like Kawhi in some ways offensively, just because even today's game, like as tough as it was a defensive game as much as I liked it. To me, there was points where the Raptors should have been up like 10, 15 points just because of all the shots they missed and passed up again, you know?
They're missing a lot of shots.
They're missing a lot of shots. Like
I wonder what their shooting percentage is.
I can check that right now. But again, it was a better performance. It wasn't like game three, but it ain't strong.
Nah, man. No, it ain't.
It ain't strong at all. Like, it's just,
no, it ain't.
It's crazy to watch. Yeah, it's crazy to watch.
Like, even my, you know, my stepdad, you know, he's a typical Caribbean fan. He's a true fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're good, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And when you lose, you suck. You're the worst thing ever. And everybody should be traded. And, you know, he's like, you know, these guys can't buy a basket. They can't hit nothing, right? And, you know, you watch them, you know, and I was kind of watching the game a little bit. I'm not a Raptors fan, but it was like, man, it sucks for them because you see Philly just raising up, hitting shots, open shots. Their bench guys coming in, you know, one-twoing into the shot, knocking it down. The Raptors get wide open shots. You know, they're missing. Serge Ibaka missed everything but the backboard. Like, what the hell? Like, just clean looks.
Yeah.
Guys just missing shots, right? Whereas with the rap, you know, with the Philly, they're hitting, you know, they seem like they're hitting everything. When they did get clean looks to the Raptors, the ball's just rimming in and out, coming up short, hitting the back of the rim. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I don't know, man. I would like to think that you ain't got nothing else to do. This is your job. from the minute you get a chance in the gym, I'm gonna go make 1,000 shots. I'm gonna go make 500 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just catch and shoot with the gun. Just get shots up. Just make. I'm not leaving the gym until I make this amount of shots. So stay locked in.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I don't know what these guys do, but I would think that's the simple. I mean, they're making it simplistic, but I just think that's what I would do. Like, I'm playing a professional. I ain't got nothing else. I just shot bad. Give me a gym.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Give me the gun. I'm just going to, you know, just catch and shoot.
Yeah.
Just that alone, get some kind of rhythm, because shooting is rhythm.
Yep.
Just get some kind of rhythm. You know, maybe break my, you know, start off breaking my shot down. You know, break down my mechanics. What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? And then go from there.
And it's funny, you know, because
watch some film.
And it's funny because you heard, I know on the telecast today, on the ABC telecast anyway, they were talking about Jimmy Butler, how he had a shooting coach come with him and yesterday, and they said he got in like some extra sessions and extra shooting just to like stay in rhythm. You know what I mean? And I'm like, and that's what it's about. Like, that's what
it's not rocket science, man.
No.
It's not rocket science. It's not rocket. If you're struggling with your shot, work on your shot.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? I'm a teacher. I tell kids, you know, if you're struggling, multiplication, right? Spend some time, just, you know, extra time on multiplication,
mm-hmm.
right? So the same thing you do in school, if you're struggling with a subject, you spend some time on it, right? So it's the same thing with basketball. If I'm turning the, you know, I'm not handling the ball correctly, I'm going to spend the next hour just dribbling the basketball, doing various different drills, you know, different coordination drills, right? Dexterity drills, concentration drills, dribbling the basketball, improve my ball handling. It's not rocket science, man. You ain't got nothing else to do. You know what I mean? You ain't got nothing else to do. You're a professional athlete. Go spend the time. You know, and that's what Kobe Bryant did. You know, that, and MJ did that. You know, if they had a bad game, you know, they're spending time fixing. So, you know, we'll see. I hope, you know, the Raptors keep it up. Just keep up the defense. And, you know, hopefully the shots will start falling.
And that's the one thing that I got to give them, because defensively, they've that's been the one consistent thing overall team-wise. They've been really good at is defensively on the defensive side of the floor. They've been really solid, and it's actually what's keeping them in the games, to be honest with you. Even the game that they got blown out, game three, I mean, up until the fourth, it was their defense that brought them back. Like, they were within six.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it brought them back. So like, defensively is what's keeping them in games. So that's like, I'm encouraged by that, looking at that from that perspective. You know what I mean? Like, they're staying together on that aspect. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But before I wrap up, I just want to ask you real quick. What's your assessment so far of Nick Nurse in this series so far? Because sometimes offensively, because I know defensively they've been consistent, but offensively, it's kind of had a Coach Smiley vibe to it.
Coach what?
A Coach Smiley vibe to it.
Coach Smiley?
Yeah, Coach Smiley. You remember Will Smith's coach in The Fresh Prince? Just pass the ball to Kawhi.
Oh, yeah, get the ball to Kawhi.
Run 20 laps, Dunderhead. Like, it's kind of have that vibe to it a little bit.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. They're switching everything, right?
Yeah.
And so when a team is switching stuff, what do you run? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, because you're going to run your set, they're going to switch everything. You're going to still end up with ISO ball.
Yeah.
Right?
You're trying to get the mismatch. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get a mismatch somewhere, and then you're going to go ISO ball. So, you know, and sometimes it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it's good to do ISO ball, because then guys get to rest, right? Because mm-hmm. I, you know, at my level, what I tell guys to do is hold the ball, right? You know, if I think guys are tired.
Yeah.
Right? You know, sometimes ISO ball is good in the sense that, you know, guys rest on the offensive end. Now, it doesn't give you any continuity. The defense also gets the rest, because you don't have to work as hard.
Right.
Right, to rotate and whatnot. But, you know, there's times for the ISO ball, obviously, in the last 2 minutes. If they're switching everything, there's not really much you can do, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to end up with ISO ball anyways. People like run this. You can run all the misdirection you want. Now, I think Philly does a great job of like, especially J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick does a great job of moving without the ball.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Does a great job of, you know, he sets a screen and slips. He looks to go set a screen, slips it, doesn't set the screen. He does a great job of moving without the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, our shooters, you know, you see Kyrie moving, running around, but he did a great job of setting some nice screens. But I think, you know, I guess that's what you're going to have to ask. But again, guys aren't making shots, right?
That's it.
So at the end of the day, you know, Redick is making shots. Buckets is making shots. Ennis is making shots. The bench players, clearly, you know, guys coming in, knocking on the three, Tobias Harris. So I'm sure if the Raptors were making shots, I think you'll see a lot more movement, right? Because they're missing. So people are like, well, it's iso ball.
They're just staying home.
Yeah, guys ain't making their shots, right?
Yeah.
Guys ain't making their shots. So at the end of the day, you got to go to the guy that is making shots, and that's Kawhi. Kawhi's making his shots. He's a superstar. That's what superstars do. They put you on the back, and they carry you. So, you know, if guys start making shots, you're going to see a lot more misdirection, guys really, you know, moving without the ball. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot more of that. But if guys aren't making shots, because they're getting open shots.
I know, and they're just not knocking them down.
They're not knocking them down. Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, what are you going to do? You're going to keep, you know, you're like, okay, you know, we're down 2-1. We're at the point now where this is not working, so I can't stay with it. It's not working. Let's go to something real quick. You know, I think now it was like a sense of urgency, so you have less patience with, okay, let's stick it through, let's work it through, let's keep it going, let's keep turning it over. Hopefully we'll get something. Now it's like, shit, we ain't getting up, boom, let's go. Kawhi, get them off the Kawhi. Let's go. Let's do something. So I think they can exhale a little bit, because even if they drop this game, obviously they have another one, but you don't want to go down 3-2. Right? You'd rather be up 3-2. So hopefully, guys, again, you guys stick with the defense. I just hope guys step up. Hope guys, they're coming back home. Hope some of our guys feel comfortable and start making shots.
And credit to Philly too, because as you said, just to speak on what you're saying, defensively they've been playing pretty well as well, and guys are on the other side of the floor, they're making their shots. You know, their bench is actually outperforming the Raptors' bench consistently throughout this whole series so far.
Dude, there's one guy that was outscoring the Raptors, and he had 34 in the three games, and the Raptors, he by himself had 34.
Who, Raptors Ennis, right? Bench had 30. Was it Ennis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, some one of those guys. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
These guys just disappeared. Everybody's like, Raptors have a chance. They have the best bench in the league. And these guys just pull a Houdini. It's like, yo, what's up?
They're getting manhandled for the most part.
Because
like, I'm just looking at the stats real quick right now. Like, I mean, Van Vliet he's only scored 3 points his whole series.
Wow.
You know, like, and Norman Powell, he didn't really play either, because they've just been struggling so much they can't afford it anymore. I think Nick Nurse did the right job in terms of just shorting the rotation. He had to. Yeah, you can't depend on it anymore. At least not right now, until these guys can show you that they're doing something. Like when they get in their time, they're doing it right. They're affecting the game right away. Then it's like, okay, all right, now we can, you know, we can let you play this out a little bit more. But I mean, you know, like I said, looking at the stats here, Van Vliet, 7. It's just a bunch of zeros going down the box score.
Crazy.
In 7 minutes. That's crazy. He's been one of the better bench players his last couple of years. So seeing how he's been just completely taken out of this series is crazy. It's a little crazy. But but as a coach, you know, as you know, you got to do what you got to do, man. You got to get them that W when the series gets down to it.
Listen, at the end of the day, of course, like, nobody's going to argue with Nick Nurse. Like, I wouldn't argue with him. I'm like, dude, we played 3 games. You guys never showed up in 3 games. What do you think is going to happen? Like, we're trying to win here, man. So, you know, get the job done. You're a professional athlete. You're getting paid. It's no time for you to disappear. This is where you need to step up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've given you 3 games to do it. So, you know, you guys ain't stepping up. Yo, I'm shortening the bench. I'm just going to play guys that I can count on. That's it.
And
nobody can complain.
And just to wrap up, going into game 5, I know we could probably talk about Lowry, but I feel like we've been doing this whole roller coaster thing with Lowry the last few years, so I really don't feel like talking about his performance today, even though he played better, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, we've been down that rabbit hole before of why he doesn't perform, and then he performs better, and then he has another stinker, you know, like a game or two later. I don't even want to get into that. I just don't.
No problem.
but going forward, for game 5 specifically, just to wrap up. What do you expect to see in game 5?
I hope and expect to see that Fred VanVleet is going to make some shots. The bench is going to step up and make, just knock down some shots. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see. Mm-hmm. That's what's missing right now. Right? Mm-hmm. Siakam didn't look, you know, I noticed in the series that Siakam's only a catch and shoot. Mm-hmm. He can't shoot off the dribble.
Yeah.
So whenever he catches the ball and he puts it on the ground, they just back up off of him. So I expect more from, I know he's hurt, but suck it up, buttercup. And I just expect the bench to step up this game.
Yeah.
That's what I expect to see in game five.
I
expect to see the Raptors bench in game five.
I feel like you stole the notes off my phone. I think he hacked my phone because I said, I'm saying basically the exact same thing you're going to say, but I see. You know the rule of thumb in the playoffs, like bench players play better generally, but at home, but especially in the playoffs, yeah. They just, you know, they ride that adrenaline, the energy off the crowd, and you know, they just tend to play better. So I feel like I can see, maybe not so much Norman Powell, but I can see VanVleet like snapping out of it, and I can see him having, like, you know, at least 10, 12 points in this game coming up.
Yeah, Ibaka, one more.
Yeah.
You know,
like
I kind of like when Nurse went big. He had Lowry on the floor, and then he went with Ibaka, Kawhi,
and Gasol,
Siakam,
and
Gasol.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
you know, I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, especially defensively, because they're for the most part, they're all, you know, they're all moving laterally, and they're all, you know, like rotating properly. So it was a good mix. It's funny. I think I had the Raptors initially winning in six. I still have that in mind. But I think this game, I can see the Raptors winning by, like, 10-plus. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, but I can see them winning by 10-plus just because I expect the role players to play better, number one. And, like, just being at home, I expect shots to go down. Some more from everybody. You know what I mean? So I can see that. I can see where that game is now going to be, like, you know, 10 to 15-point win. And then game six, I think it's just going to be a war.
Yes.
I think game six is
I totally agree.
All right, sir. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast today. You know, as always, it's been a pleasure. As long as the Raptors continue to, you know, extend this this playoff journey, you know, you're more than welcome to come on some of these post-game pods.
So, I'm here. Just let me know.
Yeah, no doubt, sir. No doubt, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you for tuning into the AV Podcast. And thank you for the continued support, as always. Special shout-out goes out to O'Neal Kamaka for coming on today's episode to discuss the Raptors' Sixers series so far, as well as Game 4 overall. Here's a stat I got after the podcast was over, just to put into context how great Kawhi's playing right now. Let me just pull it up here. It's courtesy of Micah Adams on Twitter. Kawhi's averaging 38 points on 62% shooting so far in this series. Jordan averaged over 35 points on 60% shooting in one playoff series. LeBron has never done it. Durant has never done it. Kobe has never done it. We are witnessing truly one of the best series by a perimeter player ever. Just reading that tweet, just verbatim. I mean, he's been incredible this series, but it's historical, some of the things he's doing, man. I mean, it's why I hope Toronto goes really far. When greatness arrives at your doorstep as a basketball fan, you really got to embrace it because you don't know how long that's going to last. The Raptors haven't experienced anything like this from a player, so as a basketball fan in this city, I'm here for all of it. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and Google Podcasts is where you can listen to all the shows from South Sharaf Radio. Listen and subscribe, and also rate and review the shows, including this episode. And also to check my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Neil Kamaka, this is Cal C. And you've just tuned in to the AV Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. On to the next episode, folks. Peace.